Mr. President.
Henry, how are you?
I'm fine. Now, nice to hear from you.
Well, the same to you. I've just been warned by Ron that I have to tell you, and later when I tell or talk to the Prime Minister and to the President, that Walker is recording this conversation. You don't have any objections, I trust.
No, I don't have any objections.
Well, I think they wanted it for historical purposes.
Right.
Well, let me say, Henry, very, very deep, very deeply, how very grateful I am for the tremendous effort that you've made in this last round of negotiations. But I know how long and how hard and devotedly you have spent many, many hours, not only with me, but with Prime Minister Rabin and President Sadat. I think this is a great achievement, one of the most historic, certainly, of this decade and perhaps in this century. And I know that the American people will be most grateful for the successful efforts that you've made. And I just want to express it very strongly and very deeply for myself.
And I appreciate this very much, Mr. President. And, of course, we spend more time on the Middle East, you and I, than on almost any other problem.
I think if we added up the hours, it would be a good many days. And the fact that we finally made a successful conclusion, I know, gives you, as well as myself and many, many others, a great deal of satisfaction. It's in the best interests of not only the two countries, ourselves, but in my judgment, Henry, one of the great achievements for the world at this time.
But I think it gives peace a chance in this area, and the consequences, as you have pointed out repeatedly, of stalemate were simply unacceptable.
I'm sure there will be some critics, but I think in all honesty, they have to understand what the alternatives would have been.
Exactly, Mr. President. That is the problem, that the continuation of the stalemate would have had both military and economic consequences for the world that we had to do something about.
Are you, you're leaving very shortly, as I understand, for the actual initialing?
I'm going to see Prime Minister Rabin now, and then we're going to initial the documents.
Right.
And then shortly after that, I'll go to Egypt to meet with President Sadat and participate in the initialing of the documents there.
You'll actually carry the documents with you to Alexandria then?
Exactly. Documents and maps.
Well, I'm going to call the Prime Minister after talking with you, and I'll express to him my appreciation, but if you'll do it in person for me, I would also be very grateful.
I will do that, Mr. President, and I look forward very much to seeing you on Thursday.
You're getting in Wednesday night, as I understand.
That's right. I'm getting in Wednesday night about 9 or 10 o'clock.
Well, I will be at the airport to meet you.
Aren't you nice?
And it is arranged for us to have a bipartisan leadership meeting on Thursday morning at 8 a.m.
Good.
And I'm sure that their reaction will be the same as mine, that this is a great achievement for not only the parties involved, but for the world as a whole. And I just can't express deeply enough my appreciation for your own magnificent efforts in this area.
Well, Mr. President, we work together on this, and your strong support and your leadership in your talks with Sadat and Rabin made this possible.
Well, you go over there and participate with the Prime Minister, give him my best, and at the same time, give Nancy my very best.
Thank you, and the best of Betty.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you Wednesday night.
See you Wednesday night.
Okay, thanks, Henry.
Bye. Hello?
Mr. Prime Minister, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, Mr. President. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you. And I just finished talking with Henry, and I understand he's coming over to meet with you very shortly for the actual initialing. And let me congratulate you for the superb efforts that you've made under most trying circumstances. I think your role has been one of great statesmanship under terribly difficult circumstances, and I congratulate you and compliment you on the achievement of, I think, an outstanding negotiation that's culminated in a document that will lead to great progress in the Middle East for the benefit of the world as a whole.
Mr. President, thank you very much for your kind words. It was not an easy decision. There were complicated negotiations. But we have decided this time to take risk, and I stress to take risk, for an opening for peace. I hope that what we have decided will set a new pattern in the area. And we all hope here that the agreement will really lead to more tranquility in the area and to bring closer the positions of at least Egypt and Israel. I would like to thank you very much for the role that you personally, the United States, and your envoy, Dr. Kissinger, have served in the achievement of this agreement.
Well, I thank you very much, Mr. Prime Minister, and let me assure you that you can count on us to continue to stand with you. We have a close relationship, and it will continue as we move forward under the basis of this outstanding agreement. You have laid a solid foundation with this agreement, in my judgment, on which we can build for real peace efforts in the future.
Well, we all hope for it here, and we really hope that it will be a beginning of something which we have not yet experienced in this area. And we hope that the other side, the Egyptian side, feels the same.
Well, you can rest assured that we will work with you to make certain that the agreement is carried out not only in the spirit but in the letter, and that we expect to continue the relationship that we have had over a good many years, your country and ours. You have heroic people, and the American people are most sympathetic to those that you so ably represent, Mr. Prime Minister.
Mr. President, as you are fully aware, we appreciate very much you. We appreciate very much the special relations that have so significant in the past and at the present between our two countries. And I'm sure that what we have done there today will add a new dimension to the relations between our two countries.
Will you give my very best to Mrs. Rabin, and I hope that in the near future you can come back and see us again, sir.
Thank you very much, Mr. President, and please convey our best wishes to Mrs. Ford.
Thank you very much, and we'll see you, I hope, soon.
I hope so, too.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Goodbye.
Bye.
President Sadat? President Sadat?
The office of President Sadat.
How are you this morning? President Sadat, I wanted to call you and congratulate you on the great role that you played in the negotiations that have culminated in this agreement. Unfortunately, I don't hear you too well, Mr. President. I hope that my conversation is coming through more clearly. Let me express most emphatically on behalf of my government the appreciation for your statesmanship despite adversity and some criticism, the spirit with which you have approached the need for an agreement. I am most grateful for the leadership that you've given, and I look forward to continuing to work with you in...
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me, Mr. President?
Yes, I can hear you very well.
Well, I know that you and I recognize that stagnation and stalemate in the Middle East would have been potentially disastrous, and your leadership in working with Secretary Kissinger and with the Israelis, all of us are most grateful for. And as we continue to work together personally as well as government to government...
Hello?
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 Yes, I can hear you, Mr. President.
Hello?
I hope you can hear me, Mr. President.
Hello?
Yes. I don't hear too well, Mr. President.
Hello?
Hello?
President Ford speaking?
Yes, this is President Ford. The connection, unfortunately, is not too good for me to hear your comments, Mr. President. Let me say, if I might, despite the difficulties, that Mrs. Ford and I hope that Mrs. Sadat and you and your children will visit the United States sometime this fall. The Secretary Kissinger has told me of the very warm hospitality that you've extended to him and Mrs. Kissinger, and we look forward to reciprocating when you come to the United States in the fall of 1975. This will be... I regret that I can't hear. The connection is very bad. I hope that you can hear me and my comments from the United States. The
is there any?
Yes. I can't hear him at all. All right. Mr. President, I understand that Secretary Kissinger is coming to Alexandria to personally deliver the document for your initialing, and I've asked Henry to extend to you on that occasion the gratitude and appreciation of the American people for your patience, your leadership, and your understanding of the need and necessity for a forward step, an important step in the ultimate aim of total peace in the Middle East.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. President.
Hello, Mr. President.
I can hear you better now, sir.
Very well. Mr. President.
Yes.
I hope you and your family are well.
I'm feeling very well, Mr. President, and I hope you are too.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate your call and want to thank you for your personal interest in moving this agreement towards a successful conclusion. As you have assisted the President in California, to move towards an overall settlement of the Arab Spring. I want you to know, Mr. President, that my personal and humble that has taken what I know exactly as I want you to say that the same as
Mr. President, I couldn't hear every word distinctly, but I got the thrust of your kind comments and your encouraging words, and I can assure you that we will work with Egypt not only in seeing that the agreement is implemented with the spirit as well as the letter, that we will continue to develop the good relations between Egypt and the United States, working to make sure that we expand trade, tourism, and our help to the maximum degree possible, and that this is the way that the United States can continue to play a constructive role in the most important area, the Middle East, and you have my personal assurance, and I'm sure the Congress will cooperate, because it is recognized in the United States that the Middle East is a vitally important area of the world, and that our participation in a constructive way is an important element in the tremendous success that has been achieved in the negotiations between your country and Israel. And I wish to thank you very, very much. And I said a few moments ago, Mrs. Ford and I look forward to having Mrs. Sadat, your family, and yourself here in the United States early this fall.
Mr. President, I'm looking really forward. And your family, and that is so much in our presence, and this folk, this is what you can understand, not only in our country, but the area here. And I should like Mr. President to ask sometime, if you agree, I want to assure you, we accept this agreement as a further step towards a just and peaceful solution. And I could, I consider it a turning point in the history of the conflict. This, again, thanks to you. But it is essential, Mr. President, that we must keep the momentum of the peace process in continuous.
I can assure you, Mr. President, we're going to keep the momentum going in the peace process. We will not tolerate stagnation or stalemate. The momentum is on the way for a peaceful solution on a permanent and an equitable basis, and you have my pledge that we will make sure that that momentum keeps going.
Thank you very much, Mr.
I look forward to seeing you after that wonderful visit we had in Salzburg, and give my very best to Mrs. Sadat, if you will, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir.
And I should ask another 2 points, Mr. President.
Yes.
Let me send, until I meet you. I think I would like to emphasize the importance of beginning talk on a parallel move in Syria. And I also urge you, as my friend, to begin a dialogue with the Palestinians.
I unfortunately could not hear as well as I would like the last comments you made. The connection from here is not apparently as good as I hope you have there, but the...
I want to commend the untiring effort and strength of Secretary.
Well, the efforts of Secretary Kissinger and myself, we feel were completely worth what we've done, but our efforts could not have been successful without the leadership and the statesmanship by you and the equally fine actions by the Israeli government and Prime Minister Rabin. But as you said a moment ago, President Sadat, the momentum is moving in the right direction, and you have my personal assurance that we will continue that movement because it is vital, not only in the Middle East, but elsewhere, for the benefit of all peoples.
Thank you, Mr. President, very much.
And we will see you soon, I hope.
Sure, I shall be coming, Mr. President, and convey my to the family.
Thank you. And the best to yours, sir.
Thank you very much.
And have a good day, and Henry will be there shortly, I understand.
Sure, I'm waiting for you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
When we go, we like to get everything done we can. Well, I understand there's a statement to be released from the White House that points out the strong feelings that I have that this negotiation, culminating in the agreement, is a great success in not only preventing stagnation and stalemate in the Middle East, but more importantly, getting the momentum going for what all of us hope will be a continued effort to expand the permanent peace that all hope for, that would conform, of course, to the resolutions in the United Nations 242 and 338. I suspect there can be anticipated some criticism, but I respectfully suggest that if we had not achieved this historic settlement, the alternative would have been turmoil, increased tension, obviously greater dangers in the Middle East for a renewal of the kind of tragic conflict that took place in 1973. By the agreement between Israel and Egypt, the momentum has been continued, and I'm convinced that when the Congress and the American people see what has been achieved and objectively look at the alternative of no success, that the Congress and the American people will support our role.
What sort of criticism do you anticipate?
I'm not sure there will be too much criticism, but there will be some legitimate questions asked, such as what is the anticipated role of the limited number of American technicians, civilian experts. I can assure the Congress and the American people that The number will be in the range of 100 to 150. They will be civilians. They'll be technicians. They'll have no military role. They will be in the United Nations zone. So this contribution by the United States, I think, is a constructive one and not one that has great peril or danger. The United States will, of course, contribute assistance to Israel, and we will continue our aid to Egypt. This, I believe, is another constructive effort by the United States to this peace agreement, this effort to, in the long run, provide a permanent, fair, and equitable settlement of the many differences in the Middle East.
If Congress should not approve the stationing of technicians there, will the agreement fall apart?
It would have a very serious impact because the contribution of the United States is important, and those technicians are a vital ingredient in assuring both Egypt and Israel that the agreement will be upheld. So a turndown by the Congress would have serious repercussions.
What will be their role, Mr. President? They're not acting as policemen to enforce the agreement, are they?
They are not. They are going to be stationed in what you can call warning stations. And their role will simply be that of a technician and have no other responsibilities.
Mr. President, has there been any Russian comment on the presence of the technicians themselves, as distinguished from some criticism I've read of having the early warning teams outside of the UN zone?
Well, I have read of some questions being raised. I have not had any direct, or I have not seen any, and I don't believe there is any direct objection.
Mr. President, why is it necessary to have Americans to do that? Can't other people be trained to do that? Or is it more than just the technical skills they'll bring to that that makes it important?
Well, it is a very highly, very sophisticated technical knowledge, and we have Americans who are trained and who can carry on that responsibility, and I believe that both Egypt and Israel have faith that ours will perform that function in a responsible and fair way.
But I suppose the criticism that's going to be leveled against that is that by putting those people there, you increase the danger that they could become hostages and the United States could be drawn in a direct way into a new conflict. Is that part of the reason they are there?
They are not there for the potentiality of being held hostage. They are there to perform a technical responsibility, and I have no fear that they can or will be held hostage under any circumstances.
One question, Mr. President. There has been some talk about the figure of $3.1 billion in aid to Israel. Is that an accurate
That is not an accurate figure, and our aid will be significant. But I would not at this point wish to comment on the precise dollar total.
What's the next step in the Middle East? Are you anticipating on the Syrian-Israeli agreement now?
I can only say that this is a step in the overall settlement. The precise next step has not yet been discussed. I will, of course, talk to Secretary Kissinger on his return, but having achieved this, I can only say our overall objective fits in with the two UN resolutions, 242 and 338. Thank you very much.
Picture on the, your dealing with Congress over the oil detail.
No.
Expect that it will lead you to be doing the.
I wouldn't want to go beyond what we said. When was it? Friday morning. I am encouraged. I am always optimistic. But until Congress returns and until we hear from the Democratic leaders, I don't believe I should comment further.